Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray you had a great night and a good morning. And my prayer is that you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are living according to the word of Almighty God with each and every step you take, so that you can make heaven your home. All right. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, I ask the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and our minds, to be receptive, Father, to this your word, so that we can learn and receive greater knowledge and understanding, Father, of this your word, so that we can walk in truth with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us as we begin this study and as we go through it. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Philemon this morning, and we'll be getting in to chapter 1. But first, I want to share some things with you about this epistle of Philemon. You know, I hadn't been doing it until actually the last epistle, but the Lord has let me know that most of us never read about anything about, we just read the letter itself. And they are things that are quite interesting in the heading. Now, here you take this one, Philemon. We know Paul wrote it because it starts off just like Paul always does. But also, wrong as far as about the date that it was wrote. It was wrote while Paul was a prisoner at the time. And it was actually also one of four prison epistles, along with Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, which Paul wrote during his first Roman imprisonment. This is telling us he wrote four more while he was in prison there. And what they are, which, like I say, most don't know because they don't read these. Now, that was during his first Roman imprisonment. According to Colossians 4:7-9, Onesimus accompanied Tychicus to Colossae. So Paul must have written to the Colossians, or Colossians, and to Philemon at approximately the same time. And actually the suggested dates range around AD 60 to 63. And you know, the purpose of him writing this letter is this epistle is the story of three main characters. Onesimus, Philemon, and Paul and their interaction. One, Onesimus, a slave in Colossae, had evidently robbed Philemon, which was his master at that time, and he robbed him. So he couldn't have been, at the time, he wasn't too good a man, would he? And he ran away. And during the course of his flight, Onesimus encountered Paul in Rome. And through his ministry, he came to faith in Christ. And subsequently, Onesimus became a helper to Paul. But Paul recognized Onesimus' duty to his master, so he sent him back to Philemon, along with Tychicus, who carried Paul's letter to the Colossian church at the time. Now, in the letter, Paul enforced Philemon to receive Onesimus not as a slave, but as a brother. Now, and to be beloved, because Paul himself, in a gracious act, as this gives, of Christian love, assumed Onesimus' debt in full. And put, he told Onesimus to put that on my account. Paul did. And you know, just through very brief, the epistle is a valuable addition to the New Testament record for three reasons. One, it reveals more of the apostle's own character than most of his letters do. Two, it gives important insight into the institution of slavery in the ancient Roman world. And three, it serves as a vivid picture of the truth of Galatians 3:28, that in Christ there is neither bond nor free. That's what has been wrote in my Bible about this letter, this epistle. Now, we're going to get into the epistle here. And in verse 1, Paul starts it just like he always does. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. That lets us know there quite a bit that's getting ready to come about and to go on. He's letting us know about a lot of people here in his life. And to our beloved Ophelia. Now, this Ophelia, as far as we know, was probably Philemon's wife. And he goes on there, verse 2, in his greetings to our beloved Ophelia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Well, this Archippus, as given to us, may have been Onesimus' son, or I mean Philemon's son. But in our footnotes in the Bible, it says that he was more likely the minister of the church that was in the house. Because we know that the early churches were actually in homes. A Christian church building was actually unknown until the 3rd century. 3 centuries before they actually began having church buildings. The churches were all in homes. We don't like that today, do we? But yet, God liked them back then. And he would still honor them today. Now, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is Paul's salutation to them. Verse 4, he says, I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayers. Always in my prayers. Paul had a great prayer life. He had to have. Because as close as he was with the Lord Jesus and doing the things that the Lord God had him doing, he had to be close and he had to be continually talking with the Lord God in order to know what was coming next. And even though he was in prison, you know, he didn't consider himself as being a prisoner of Rome. He was more a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was from prison where Paul did most of his writing. Because you see, he wasn't there just once. When he wrote Philemon and those other 3 that was given to us, you know, that and he let us know then that he wasn't a Roman prisoner. He was the Lord's prisoner. Now, here in verse 5, says, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Are you and I to carry love for each other? Yes. And for all saints. It does not matter where they are in the world. Those saints that are in Africa, China, Japan, Russia, it does not matter where they are. We are to carry enough love for them in our heart to keep them in our prayers. That's why we pray for all of God's children, wherever they are, asking the Holy Spirit to keep them in health, to keep them safe. You hear me do this often. Almost every prayer during our study periods, because that is what we are to be. We are to be the mouth, the head, the heart, the arms, the legs, the feet, and all for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not going to forget any of them. And neither can you and I and be that born-again child of the living God. Now, 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. If there is any good thing in you, it came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. Because until we accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives and we go to him in repentance and repent and receive that forgiveness and then to go on and be baptized in his name, knowing that we are putting on his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then to receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God in our lives. That's when we have good things within us. Because most of us were not good before then. Now some of us may not have been real bad, but they was not real good things in you either, otherwise. Now, you may have been a good person to the point you may have loved other people. You may have felt sorry for them. You may have helped a few along the way here, but you still didn't have the Lord with you, and you were still committing a lot of the old sins. You see, that's what happens without the Lord Jesus Christ. And we begin then to have good things in us and doing good things when He and the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And we all know how to get there. Now, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. We can walk with joy, great joy, in knowing that in our love, there are others out there that are also loving us and praying with and for us in a lot of different places. They may not know your name, as we don't know theirs. They are those we've never seen, never heard about, but they belong to God. They are His, and we are to love them, to pray for them. Now, 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul's request that Philemon take back Onesimus here in 8. In 9. You know, then he talks about both son and brother. Rich Onesimus, according to Paul, is now both his son and a brother to Philemon. Although, actually, we know that Philemon had no legal rights in the Roman world. But you see, it didn't matter what the difference was in Onesimus and Philemon's lives. But according to God, they actually, and spiritually, are on an equal spiritual plane. And that would have to hold true with both his owner and the Apostle Paul. That's the kind of love we have to have if we're going to make it through and out of this world to make heaven our home. That's why we are told in the Word of God that broad is the way of destruction, and many there be that find death. But straight and narrow is the way of righteousness, and few there be that find that. You see the difference? It's because most do not want to come to the point of loving others more than themselves. And yet, that is what we are commanded to do. And in a sense, this is what Paul is saying here. You see, now, verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Speaking very plain. Which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. See, he is profitable now to Paul, in Paul's ministry. One who was a thief and running has changed to the point that now Paul is calling him son and letting him know that he is profitable unto him and his ministry that God has given to Paul. Now, 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is my own bowels. In other words, his own love. Receive it. 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. The Paul goes on now in 14 here, and he says, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. We don't do things just out of necessity. We do it willingly. It's right, and we do it willfully and lovingly. 15. For perhaps he therefore depart for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Receiving forever. 16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul's appeal that Philemon would receive the runaway slave is well stated here in this verse. And Onesimus has a new relationship to Philemon as a brother and not as a slave, but he is as a brother in the Lord. You know, and whether Philemon had freed Onesimus is not really known. But certainly Paul's statement implies that the slavery is incompatible with Christian teaching in the Bible. Think about that. because slavery is something that is looked on as an existing social and economic practice. Think about it. And usually is because not having anything, being destitute. And therefore, willing to come under somebody else. Now, just as you and I are willing to come under and through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, we are His to do with whatever He wants to do with us. Think about it. Paul's right in his writing when he calls himself a prisoner and a slave and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what we all are if we are to make heaven our home. But then too, we that are of the family of God, we know the joy of being that way and walking that way. Because we don't go through anything by ourselves. Sometimes we don't understand why we have to go through it. And sometimes we don't understand why we have to go through it so long. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ knows. Paul, first time, was locked up for 2 years. Why did he have to pull 2 years? God could have got him out any time. But he let him stay there for a purpose. And the purpose he let him stay there, we hold in our hand today. The things God had him recording. And the time that he had to spend with the Lord God and the Holy Spirit in order to receive this word had to be phenomenal. Understand this. How much time are you actually giving to God? How much time are you giving to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and in the study of His Word? But in order for you to have help, the Lord has had me now to hold these studies every day, twice a day. And it's from my home. I don't understand why, and all of you that know me, you know that what I'm telling you is the truth. I'd love to be out here in a big church to where the people around could come. But you see, I am reaching people a lot further distance than what most churches can reach. Although if I was in the church, I could still be reaching like I'm reaching now, because this would go with me. But I'll be there when God wants me there. Because as of right now, I'm at home and I spend a lot of time in meditation and in prayer that ordinarily I would not have spent. And I know that and I understand that. Now, okay. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. 18. If he has wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. Whatever he owes you, put it on my account. I, Paul, have written with my own hand, I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thy own self besides. Now, 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Paul's letting Philemon know that he knows he'll do more in accepting Onesimus, even than what Paul is asking. 22. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be given unto you. And you know, that lets us know that Philemon's financial status and Paul's confidence that he would be released from prison. You know, kind of stand hand in hand. And that he knows that Philemon will fulfill his request. 23. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We have now come through this epistle of Philemon. And we're going to stop here with the scripture, because this evening at 6 p.m. we're going to be getting in to my favorite book of the Bible, the book of Hebrews. There is so much in this book. So much. And I know that it will be a great help to you if you will take the time to join with us and go through this complete epistle with us. Get it all, because it covers most everything needed to be that child of the living God. And it is the best book on faith. Also, all right. Now remember, back in study at 6 p.m. Eastern Time this evening. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your words, we thank you, Father, for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you for the time that we can get together here in my home and on the internet to share your word with those, Father, that we don't even see or know. But Father, we pray that you'd never, ever let me use something that is not right according to thy word. And that everything, Father, spoken comes through me by the Holy Spirit to speak with authority of him and thy power. To be able, Father, to help someone else that's walking in darkness to find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we prepare to separate now to do the things we must do through this day, keep us in health, Father. Keep us safe. And Father, Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. Because we know that right now, Father, they are surrounded by enemy. They have rockets coming in every day, causing destruction and death. But even more than that, Father, we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And that Israel will be known one day as a land. And Father, for your saints, wherever they are in this world, keep them, Father, in health. Keep them safe. And may the Holy Spirit continue them growing with knowledge, reaching out to others wherever they are to help bring more out of darkness into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this land of ours, it's standing in need of so much work, so much, Father, that it has walked away from. It needs to repent, Father, and return back to your word. Put Jesus back into every place they've taken him out of. And once again, start building your churches, Father, and bringing our people from darkness to light, the light of Jesus. Now, Father, be with us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, all. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Have a great, great day.